Welcome to this week's podcast of Kicking It with Kidneys with your host, Cindy Barclay. Hey, Cindy, take it away.
Well, hello out there, and we are back. In our last episode of KIWK, our panelists and guests talked about healthcare benefits and shared basic information every consumer should know before making critical decisions on how to manage your healthcare costs. Today, the group will resume the discussion and provide a brief review of important information and offer our listeners an insider look at common mistakes and misconceptions made when navigating the healthcare system. All right, our KIWK team is back in the house. We have BJ Simone, Maria Jimenez, and of course, Rita Williams. So BJ, what is the word on the street?
Well, hi, everyone. The word on the street today is that there's ongoing concern about the rising cost of healthcare. I think within the past year and a half, we've all been made painfully clear about how having access to healthcare is a basic right, or it should be a basic right. But with the way things are going, it seems like that's going to be a long road ahead. So let's take a listen.
They billed our insurance company over $3 million for the cost of transplant. Then I have another EOB right after it, which was another $1 million. So you're looking at a $4 million transplant. I don't know what people do without insurance. How could you even begin to pay that?
A typical insurance on an initial visit like this, which takes me 1 hour, pays about $100 or $95. The cost of that hour for me to just keep the office open and operating is about $300.
So when insurance is actually paying for it, they're not paying you enough.
They pay me a lot less than the visit is worth.
So that's why you don't take commercial insurance.
Right, because I couldn't afford to do it.
Insurance companies manage care. Instead of a doctor getting $250 easily, they get $12, $40, $60.
We talk a lot about the billers and the coders and the consultants who really are removed from healthcare. They're not there because they care about health. They're there because they see a business opportunity.
Every day we spend hours going through checkboxes, typing notes, documenting things that we're supposed to document for billing purposes that we really don't think improves patient care. And the more that we spend time with computers, the more that we spend time billing, that leaves a lot less time for face-to-face interaction with our patients. And that's why most of us went into medicine in the first place.
Emergencies are chaotic, and health insurance is confusing. There are HMOs, PPOs, deductibles, copays, and premiums to try and make sense of. You'd think that if people are insured, they shouldn't have to pay that much out of pocket. But that's not always the case. Not every doctor accepts every insurance plan, and some hospitals have staff employed by multiple third-party companies. So one trip to the ER could get you five different bills, and your insurance might only cover one.
We're a wealthy country, and we should have universal health care.
Well, BJ?
Yeah, I think that really pinpoints why we need to have a show like we've got today, because there's so much we still don't know about healthcare insurance, and what we don't know, we suffer.
So we ask experts in the subject matter, Norma Davis and Stephanie Martinez, to come back on the show to help us make sense of it all by providing a quick review about your healthcare plan options. Hello there, guys.
Hi, team.
Hi, thank you for having us back. We appreciate it.
Well, we're glad that you're here. Guest speakers Norma Davis and Stephanie Martinez represent a combined 48 years of experience in insurance management and patient advocacy. In their individual careers, they have fought to achieve a balance between insurance, employer, and patient interests. Anyone struggling to understand the healthcare insurance maze should take a listen. So, Norma, what are my healthcare options?
Your healthcare options are as follows. First of all, you have your employer group health plans. These are plans that are provided through your employer. Most of the time, you have two or three options to choose from. Ensure that you select the one that best suits you and your family. Okay. Next, we have the exchange. This exchange is for people who cannot afford, or should I say, there's a population of people that were without insurance. The health exchange plan, which is the ACA of 2013, Obama Healthcare, provides health care for some of the less fortunate. Some of the plans do not require the population to pay premiums, is how I want to say it, the participants to pay premiums on a monthly basis. Some of the plans are actually free. Then we have TRICARE. This is for your active military and your inactive military. So if you're not military, you will not be a part of TRICARE. TRICARE is strictly for the military. And then you have, of course, our traditional and non-traditional Medicare. So we have the traditional Medicare, which is for your aged and disabled. You reach the age of 65, your Medicare kicks in. You're disabled, you have a disability, you have cancer, and more so, you have end-stage renal disease, ERSD, okay? You are now eligible for Medicare. You get Medicare Part A and Part B. And then we have our non-traditional Medicare, and that is the Medicare Part C. This is our new Medicare Advantage plans, okay? The next thing is Medicaid. We have traditional Medicaid and non-traditional Medicaid because Medicaid has a managed section as well. We have managed Medicaid, which is optional. The next thing is our supplemental plans. These are the plans that pick up the deductibles and co-insurances that your primary insurance does not pay, which is extremely beneficial for the aged. So there you have it, Cindy.
Okay. So Norma, did I miss a letter? Is there a Part D Medicare also?
Yes, it is. That is for prescription drugs. Yes.
Okay. So Stephanie, during our previous conversation, you mentioned four critical questions that consumers must ask before choosing a healthcare plan. You identified them as the ABCs of healthcare. What do we need to know?
All right. So elaborating prior what my colleague, Ms. Norma, just mentioned, we have the plans, obviously, and it is important to go ahead and know about the types of plans. And based on them, we have the health maintenance organizations, which stands for the HMOs. Next, we have our exclusive provider organizations, which is going to be our EPOs. And thirdly, we have our point of service, which is our POS. And lastly, preferred provider organizations, which are very common on PPOs. It's very important, guys, that you keep in mind that within those plans, you do ask what is your deductible, copay, and coinsurance. And most importantly, what is your in and out of network?
Wow. Okay, so we're going to spend the remaining time of our program discussing common problems, obstacles and stumbling blocks experienced by patients, providers, and physicians to provide quality care for you and your loved ones. If you would like a more detailed report card that explains insurance and the available treatment options, log on to our website, kickingitwithkidneys.com. It's all there for you in black and white. All right, so let's get started with our panelists. So Maria.
Good afternoon, you guys. Thank you for joining our team and helping get this information into the communities. My question, I have a group health care plan and my insurance company will not pay for a service that they previously approved. So my first thing was to go to HR and ask them, what's happening with my insurance. They told me that if my insurance wouldn't pay, there was nothing that they could do about it. Is that necessarily true?
No, actually, Maria, in reference to your question, as a provider holder, your HR can appeal and help the facility appeal together to obtain coverage. When an insurance company denies, you have what is what I like to put, they kind of devastate a three-way phone call, which I allow the HR, you, the patient, and thirdly, to go ahead and us, the facility, in reference. So when we put all of those three things together, mainly what happens is, okay, we got a situation here. They're not playing. They might tell you one thing such as, okay, well, we'll go ahead and take care of it now. They won't use coverage, but they'll look into the situation, and you want to make sure that you escalate this.
Okay, so I definitely need to push more. Don't just accept that.
Yes,
okay,
yes.
We'll do.
Don't take the denial for granted just because they denied it once. No, keep going. You want to know the reasons why.
So if you have a group healthcare plan, I have a question. I'm sorry. If you have a group healthcare plan, does your employer and your insurance provider make the decision together, or is it just done? Norma, do you have anything input on that? How does that work?
Yes, Cindy, I do. It depends on the type of plan that you have chosen. Remember in the beginning, I said, be mindful of the plan that you choose for you and your family. And this is why I said that, because this is a prime example of what could happen. Now, I have seen it where, may I elaborate if you guys don't mind? I may ask that.
Sure.
I've seen it where, the patient has in and out of network benefits, and we try to provide the in network benefits. So we tried for an authorization. However, the outer network benefits will pick up based on the plan, but the patient, The patient has to pay more out of pocket, is the way I want to say this. It costs the patient more than it would if we were to get the in network benefits. So that's how I wanted to word that. Yes.
So you're saying that the decision is made between the employer and the
insurance carrier.
Insurance carrier. Yes. So they're just administering the plan for your employer.
Yes.
Your employer does have a voice, is what you're saying.
Yes, they do, because they're the ones that select that plan for their employees. So their HR does have a voice in that. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Hey guys, this is Rita. I have a question as well. What options do I have if my provider no longer accepts my insurance?
Oh, Miss Rita, I have the answer to that. Hi, how you doing today?
Good, thank you.
Good. So on the back of your insurance card, it says member services.
Mm-hmm.
What you would want to do at that time is pick up the phone and contact member services. Member services representative should send you a list of providers that will provide you for the service. If you need an oncologist, if you need a nephrologist, whatever type of physician you need, they should be able to provide you an in-network list of physicians for you to select from.
Okay. Thank you, mm-hmm. Norma.
You're welcome.
Ms. Rita, to add on to that, you can also, if you can afford to be a self-pay patient,
mm-hmm.
Go ahead and ask your provider, you know, what would be a self-pay patient rate? You know, that's also, I mean, it's kind of pointless if you happen to have coverage, why wouldn't you use it? Because that's what you have it for, right?
Right.
But I mean, that is an option as well. Also, I'd like to add on that if you ask your provider, remember between providers, they might happen to know a colleague that might be within your network, you know? So that's always another route to go to.
Well, good. That, you know, using my doctor as a resource, that's great. I mean, because we don't always know that. We're just thinking, hey, the doctor won't take my insurance anymore, that I'm done. And, you know, like you say, just ask questions of my provider.
Also, I would like to add to that, Ms. Rita, when you're having a procedure or something and you end up having to come out of pocket or pay for it, always ask for the upfront rate. Every facility and doctor's office has a self-pay patient flat rate, discounted rate for a patient. Okay.
Oh.
So keep that in mind. Yes.
Okay. So they don't provide that automatically to me. I have to ask for that.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
I know. That's different. I didn't know
that. Surprise, surprise.
I know. I don't want any surprises with bills.
There you go.
Thank you, ladies.
You're welcome.
Wow, guys, thank you so much again for being here. I have a doctor's appointment tomorrow, so I'm going to take all this in mind. But is my coverage automatically terminated if I miss or I'm late on one or two premium payments? And if so, how can I get reinstated?
Ms. BJ, based on CMS guidelines and the ACA of 2013, normally the standard is 90 days. You have 90 days grace period to get that taken care of. Mm-hmm. Now, after that 90 days, you might be out of luck and you might have to start over again. Okay. For example, let me give you an example. Medicare Part B recipients, it comes out of their Social Security check. And in order for them to not to take that out, they have to go to the Social Security office and fill out a SR 44 form and say, stop taking these premiums out of my check. And they then, but they can pay it, but they have to make that premium on the 25th of every month. Now, if they get behind, they have 90 days to fix the issue. They don't fix the issue in 90 days, they could lose their Part B coverage. Same thing for your ACA policy. We were very careful in the facilities by taking the ACAs because a lot of times the first thing I would ask, are their premiums up to date? Mm-hmm. Premiums are not up to date. We would go in and make sure that those premiums were paid because what happens is they'll rescind that policy. And if you're in the hospital and you think that you're all covered and you didn't pay your premiums, they're going to rescind that policy and take back all of those payments, every payment they paid.
Well, you know, you can't get nothing for free. If you know you have a premium to pay, don't be getting mad at people because you didn't pay your insurance premiums, okay? Now, that's all I got to say.
We get those from time to time, believe it or not.
Yeah, we do. We get them from, it happens, so, you know. Yes, so, ma'am.
So, Norma, after those 90 days, do they get a penalty? I've heard that they get penalized. Do they have to pay a penalty?
Miss Rita, that is a good question. I have not to my knowledge that I know. It's always something new in the healthcare industry.
You're right.
I will research that for you, okay? But no, not to my knowledge, do they have to pay a penalty? No, not to my knowledge.
They have to have all of their money up front for the outstanding balance.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys, just try to make those payments. You don't want to pass that 90 grace period timeline.
No. And that's CMS and the ACA, both.
That's right.
Okay. I looked at laws, made sure we had the law in place on that one.
Mm-hmm. Question about pre-existing conditions. If I have, you know, I'm a dialysis nurse, and so a lot of times that is considered a pre-existing condition. But if patients change their insurance for whatever reason, can they be denied for pre-existing conditions?
Maria, did you say being a dialysis nurse is a pre-existing condition?
No, ma'am. Did I say that? I deal with patients that have pre-existing conditions. Thank you, Ms. Barclay.
You're so welcome.
But if my patient has a pre-existing condition, changes their insurance, can they be denied for pre-existing conditions? And if not, what's the best plan for them, or what should they be looking for in their benefit?
Okay, so to answer your question, Maria, the best plan is if they do not have a grandfather plan. The best thing about Obamacare is when it came into play in 2013, Obama kicked out all of that pre-existing, okay? So pre-existing is a thing of the past unless your plan is grandfathered in, which means you had this plan before Obamacare and the group that you were in has never changed plans. That's the only way. But as far as the current situation, no, it's not.
Well, let me ask a question. So, Norma, if indeed you have a grandfather plan, would it not be maybe a strategy just to get rid of that plan and get a new plan?
It would be a good thing. Yes, it would be. But then you have some groups that have been had the same plan forever and a day. Mm-hmm. And the reason that I know is because I was a former broker and I was a licensed agent and I used to quote large and small groups. So with that being said, during that time, I was heavily involved in it. Mm-hmm. So when I looked and I was like, why don't they change this plan? And they kept that same plan. So basically that pre-existing clause followed that group all the way until they changed plans. But anyone that with a new plan or updated, then no, it does not apply.
Yeah. Well, those old plans are beneficial, BJ, I think, because again, that's less money you have to pay. If I've got a clause that said if you got a pre-existing condition, I don't have none of that. So
absolutely. Mm-hmm. Right. They sure did. Yes. You're right. You're absolutely correct, Miss Cindy.
So is health insurance like car insurance? Can I pay for what I need only? Like, for example, if I'm reasonably healthy, can I reduce my insurance premium by only purchasing coverage for catastrophic events instead of routine office visits? Do I get a choice?
Well, you could select the cheapest plan with the larger bent, with the more out of pocket. Mm-hmm. I mean, that it, most 95% of the plans, I mean, let me say that again. Let me rewind that. 98% of the plans have preventative care on them.
Okay.
And that's what you want. You want preventative care. You want to go in for your physical. You want to go in for your mammogram. You want to go in for your well woman's exam. You want to do all of the following. So basically, you would not choose a higher plan if you were a healthy person.
You would choose
something that is less, you know, that you might choose the high deductible or something like that. You know what I mean? Instead of choosing the PPO for somebody. Unfortunately, in my age group, I probably need the highest plan.
You mean our age group?
Now, I had a question. You brought up high deductible health care plans. So I heard that that was really good if you were never in the doctor or if you're always in the doctor, one of the two. Because I used to choose it because it was cheap.
You're young, Maria. Yes, it would be suitable for you. I always look at the high deductible plans for the younger generation because they have less doctor visits. They don't have medication maintenance. They don't have anything. They get their little card in the mail and the money goes on the card. The company contributes part of it to the card and they use it when necessary. More so if they have a child, then they'll more so you probably use it for the child more than themselves. So, you know, the high deductible, yes, for younger people with less health conditions would be good. Yes.
That's true, Norma. It's not for us folks that go every 2 months now.
Well, I didn't say absolutely do that, okay?
Not that I like to go, but.
That's like, amen, Ms. Rita.
Right.
In reference of what the discussion about, you know, are you able to choose, you know, less coverage amount based on the coverage for, you know, for us young healthier folks. Yes, definitely. I do remember a while back that I was watching, I don't know, a workout video on YouTube. And when Obama came into the picture, the Obamacare, I do remember a YouTuber actually mentioning that, you know, she saw that was something suitable because of her lifestyle, that she knew where did she stand in her health record, that it would work out something like that for her. So definitely, definitely. And I know it's still into the picture as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, guys, there seems to be a trend in healthcare for insurers to reduce the amount of coverage that they provide to the insurance. And they do this by declining tests or medicine or hospital stays. So can insurance policies be changed before a new enrollment period? And what can I do if a medication or a test that I need is suddenly denied?
Okay, BJ, that is something of the, I can say something possibly of the past. Because in our day and age, well, let me rewind this. The basic thing, the reason that insurance companies deny claims is a stall tactic. Let me put it like this. Okay. They deny claims to keep money in their pocket until the next quarter. Now, they want you to fight to get the money, but they know that that test is covered. That's what they do. And I tell them, stop stalling. Okay. They don't like me because I don't have a problem.
Well, stop stalling. You, Norma. I like you.
I love you.
May I add something?
So sure.
Go perfect ahead, example, honey. BJ, of a medical hack. So your doctor ordered a test or a treatment and your insurance company denied it, right? That is a typical cost-saving method, like Norma had stated. Mm-hmm. And it's basically what you do is don't give up by that denial. It's also in reference of Maria's previous question. What you're going to do as a patient, you're going to call the insurance company and tell them that you want to speak to the HIPAA compliance privacy officer, because by federal law, they have to have one. All right. That's one. Number two, Also then ask them for the names as well as the credentials of every person accessing your record. To make the decision of the denial by law, you have the right to that information. You see, a lot of you guys didn't know this. And this is just like small little secrets, you know, that we do behind the scenes to get all of these approved for you guys as patients. And they will almost always reverse the decision very shortly rather than to admit that the committee is made of a low paid of high school graduates looking for criteria words, making a medical decision to deny your care. Even in the rare cases, it is made by medical personnel. And, you know, they don't want you to know this.
I think Stephanie just came for them. She just read them real quick.
I'm sorry.
Thank you for sharing those tidbits. You know, that's going to empower me to be saying, hey, this is covered. You figure it out.
That's right. That's right. So, this is why, like, when we discuss with patients, you know, and we use you guys as, you know, one bringing the HR, bringing the patient, and us, the facility, those three-way phone calls plot together, you know, you want to make sure if you call and you think you can handle it on your own, make sure you ask what is the representative's name? Make sure you're asking, okay, I need to have a reference number, just like any other claim out there. You know, when you're calling, let's say, in reference of a car accident, well, what's my claim number? You know,
well, Stephanie, that's a good point, because they don't like the three ways. They don't the providers and the patient. You know, they discourage that. And what I've noticed with some of the patients here at Quality, okay, is that, and it's kind of disturbing to me, is that they'll say, well, my insurance, they told me this, they told me that. Not understanding that these are really not licensed people on the line. Right. They're not, you know. So, and that's they tell them all kind of stuff. And sometimes I think they're reading a teleprompter, but that's my opinion anyway. So,
but you keep in mind, as Stephanie stated earlier, it's called patient advocacy. You have a patient advocacy in every realm, and they have them in the doctor's office and the clinics. The patients can always go in and appeal. But as Stephanie stated, I have fun doing conference calls, because when you get everybody on the phone together, everything is recorded and said and done conference call, and there's nothing that the insurance company can do. All of these denials will stop immediately.
Yeah, but this is powerful information, because getting the patients to really be part of that advocacy for their needs, because sometimes people just want to fold their hands and say, well, Norma will do it. But my goodness, when you have all three of those people on the line, they're going to listen. So it's important for us to tell our patients, hey, when Norma says get on the line, get on the line, because you need to advocate for yourself too.
And that's truth. That's truth in those three ways.
Don't be scared.
Yeah, but I can say the thing about our patients, we have a group of wonderful patients that really work with us. And I really appreciate our patients, because anything that we call them and ask them to do, I mean, they are on it. They are right there with us on the line doing whatever we ask to do. It is a beautiful thing. Absolutely.
Well, and that's a reflection of you guys as well, making them feel comfortable knowing that they're part of the team that's going to get all their benefits that they can.
And empowering them, letting them know they just don't have to take the answer that the insurance company has given them, empowering them to fight for themselves.
Absolutely. We feel the stress as much as the patient, you know, as our, you know, we're the providers. For you guys, Maria, in reference, you know, that you're going into patients' homes, dialyzing, and then when they show you these letters, because I've heard it from multiple of my patients that, you know, that they're like, okay, well, what's next? Well, what's next is call. Don't give up. Don't get stressed about it, you know?
Well, here's what you guys are saying, and that's to everybody and anybody that's listening to this podcast. The first thing is just to start asking questions. Don't just take it sitting down.
Absolutely correct, BJ.
So tax deferments. I was moving on. I didn't know if we were, but talking about tax deferments, are there benefits to signing up for those type of programs?
The benefits. Okay, so let me give you a little bit of information. The benefits are 100% of the employers. Your employer is going to take out your premiums, et cetera, before taxes. That is obvious. Then they have the HRA plan, which can be a tax deduction, and your HSAs are tax deductible, because all of that is pre-tax. I'm not an accountant, but it's pre-tax. Okay. So you have a lot of benefits with your health care, because everything comes out prior to them taking your taxes out of your paycheck. That's the best way I can describe it, Maria. Did I hit it on the head, Miss Cindy?
You hit it on the head.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so I have a question too about these billing codes. If charges are based on billing codes, how can I be certain that they're billing correctly? I don't know anything about billing. Is there somewhere that I can review my medical statements?
Miss Stephanie, you want to chime in on that one? I'm going to give that one to you.
Absolutely, yes. So in the beginning, if this is your insurance plan is being covered by your employer, mm-hmm. in the beginning of that package, you should receive by mail or sometimes by email. You should have some listings there that should be able to tell you what are the percentages, what are some of the procedure codes, and also it would tell you the amounts that are going to be paying. So for example, your doctor visit within the network, of course, I'm going to keep this example very clear. They'll pay the doctor $210 for your visit, right? And you'll know out of, let's say, your deductible, how much you're expected to pay at the front of the office. So let's say he's a regular doctor, you'll pay your $40 in the mm-hmm. entrance, and then your visit, you know, will be $210, and then that gets set, right? So another thing that I wanted to add, you can always ask your provider what code will be using in reference to your visit. For example, I've used this method in my vision, for example. I believe I had to get an extra exam because I think they had found some small glaucoma in it. So I call my insurance, first of all, and I asked, well, you know, I'm getting this procedure done, you know, and this does involve a specialist. And basically, the representative told me, well, do you know the code that they'll be using? And I said, honestly, I don't. So very easily, she was able to go ahead and pull my doctor. She verified it with me if that was his or her address. And based on that information given, she actually made the phone call to my vision provider. And they were able to take it from there. And I even asked, well, you know, are they in or out of the network? And is there going to be a deductible, a coinsurance, mm-hmm. or, you know, just all of the above? And sure enough, I had that information by just making that one phone call.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that those billing codes, I know that I've gotten a bill because they billed incorrectly. So they had to resubmit it. So they can resubmit these bills if they put the right code.
Absolutely. And some of the, and I hate to put it this way, but.
Well, just put it that way.
All right. I'm just going to say it.
You know, say it, Stephanie.
Like any other person, you know, we all make mistakes, right? Oh, okay. And there could have been a billing mistake. So if the facility where you're being treated is lazy, I'm going to put it that way.
Yeah.
Well, or they just.
Those coders.
Right. So basically, you know, they didn't charge right and they went ahead and just billed you for it. No. Do not take that as a bill that you're billing the patient for it. No. You want to make sure, one, you handle it by calling the provider and being, hey, guys, I got this error mistake, you know, and you should receive it as an explanation of benefits, which stands for EOB. You know, just a brief abbreviation for it. And if you see that error, you know, and your provider is not giving you the answer that you need, call the insurance. Definitely. Okay. Call your insurance and your biller or your representative who is a specialist there, they should be able to allow you to give you instructions and they will tell you, well, we see that they billed incorrectly and we're like, okay, well, what should have they used? You know, I mean, most likely the insurance company might, it's a 50-50. They might tell you, may not, but if they do, call your facility again and let them know, hey, you know, you billed incorrectly. I just called my insurance company and they're telling me different, you know, and have that reference number and that representative name because that's basically a signature.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you so much for that because that is scary when you get those bills and you're like, I know this is covered. What's going on? So, yeah, thank you so much.
I want to go back to the in and out of network benefits. To me, mm-hmm. it sounds like a form of bullying, and I'm going to tell you why, okay? I'm going to tell you why, okay? Now, if I'm in there, and that's why people really have to look at their plans, because you may have a doctor that's been waiting on you for how many years, and then all of a sudden he's out of network. Well, he's probably out of network because they don't want to pay him or her, okay? So when I say bullying, what I mean is that, so in other words, if you come in network and I direct the traffic and tell you where to go, who to see, when to see them, then that's in there. Now, needless to say, they've already negotiated with that group of people that they have in network mm-hmm. for for pennies. Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And out of network, if I choose to stay with my doctor, you're telling me that I'm going to have to pay an arm and a leg to stay with my doctor. And the premiums on the insurance coverage is on the insurance plans are not that much different.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So tell me, how do I handle the in and out of network benefits? And it seemed to me like everybody's getting screwed here. The employers, because the insurance company says, but if you do this, then we can go down on your costs. The doctors, they have to have patients. You know, they want to take care of their patients. So basically, a lot of them are taking next to nothing until they've decided, I'm not taking this plan anymore. How do I handle, and what's the best option for me when I'm choosing in or out of network benefits?
Well, myself, I always look, when I'm looking at the plans, I look at the out-of-pocket. When I'm selecting a plan, I look at the benefit. I look at which one is the best for me. Is this an 80-20? Oh, okay, wonderful. This is great. So I know I got to pay $2,500 out-of-pocket. Mm-hmm. Whoops, put $2,500 on my HSA card because I got that covered. Coming out my paycheck, I don't even see it, okay? Now, back to what you were concerned about, Miss Cindy, about them directing the traffic on which way it should go. Yeah. Some physicians are contracted with the insurances and function under a capitated rate. When I say capitated, that means, okay, I need you to see 40 patients a day, and this is what I'm going to give you every month on a regular basis. Okay.
Well, that sounds like an assembly line to me, but I could be wrong.
And they gave you a quota.
Absolutely correct. They're dictating to you what you're going to do. I know physicians that have retired because of that, okay? Because they refuse to do it. On the other hand, if you stay with your provider, there's a possibility that the worst case scenario is that you might pay a little higher deductible. I mean, not deductible, copay is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, I have a specialist, and if I go to their doctor, I'm going to pay $35. Mm-hmm. But if I go to my doctor, I might have to pay $60.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for me to get the best care, I'm going to pay the $60 and y'all keep that $40 over there. That's the way it is. And
also,
you're right.
The benefit about being and going into the in-network is that it's already at a discounted rate. You will mm-hmm. definitely see that, you know, it's better than going to an out-of-pocket or, you know, going out of the network. Because at the end of the day, if you do happen to have insurance, the whole purpose about having the insurance is to use it, you know?
Okay, but Stephanie, what if my doctor is not in that network? This is what I'm trying. This is my point. You're saying that it's better. And sure it is, because they've heard it, put it, everybody into one basket and say, okay, you take this, you take that, and you take. My issue is this. I like my doctor. I want to keep my doctor. All of a sudden, my employer has chosen a healthcare plan that basically I have no options with. So now it takes me out of my realm, out of my comfort zone. Okay. And I may go through three or four doctors before mm-hmm. I find one like the one that I like, because I'm in network. You understand what I'm saying? So right. I don't know that that's always beneficial. And that's what they're selling. That's what they're selling. Oh, it's going to be cheaper. I don't know.
Something that I do actually, and I don't know if, you know, our patients, you know, if you're watching, you know, or future, you know, patients just in general open, is I know there is a website. I don't recall what is the name of it, but let's say you happen to have now an insurance where your main provider, the one that you like, is no longer within your network. There is a website called, I can't think of it, honestly. But basically what you do is you, when you call your insurance and they give you the list of doctors that you may be selected within the network,
mm-hmm.
look them out. They are like Yelp. It's like a Yelp. There you go. It's like a Yelp for doctors. And then you just read the comments, you know, what patients did like and what didn't they like. And you'll go from there. I mean, I was able to find my skin doctor. And I mean, hey, I read the reviews and I liked his office, like how I was treated. And I think I saw him way back in 2017 and it's 2021 and I'm still with him.
Well,
Stephanie, that's good information. If you could email us that link so we could post it to the website. That's very good information.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I think one of the things that I'm hearing you guys say is, part of navigating the system is there may be times when you do have to make a change, but make an informed change.
Right.
You know, you love your doctor, and if you cannot afford to stay with your doctor, then ask your doctor for a referral for someone who might be in network that they would, that they recommend.
Correct.
What's an in-network exception? Aren't there in-network exceptions or something like that? Where you can, I mean, if you love your doctor, you love your provider, they may be willing to make an exception, or is that not for all plans?
But that's very rarely honored, isn't it true? I mean, is that honored all the time, Norman, Stephanie? It's mm-hmm. very rarely they, mm-hmm. that they take you.
Yep, they go strictly based on your plan. Your plan states everything as to what physician you're going to see, what your benefits you're going to receive, everything. Your plan is the driver of that.
Mm-hmm. So like we've talked about in the past, we have to make sure we're reviewing these insurance stuff mm-hmm. and making sure that the doctors we like or preferred doctors are on those plans that we choose.
Absolutely correct.
One good news, I have a sister that told me she gets a bunch of stuff free.
Oh, you're talking about over-the-counter benefits.
Okay, what is that?
Well, and Norma, do y'all know what that is? Over-the-counter benefits that's given by the insurance companies?
I have not encountered that.
That's news to me.
Well, let's do a little resource. Barclay and I were talking about that. And that is actually where, like, some of your Medicare advantages, Medicaid, Medicare, and even some of your, like, regular insurance, like Blue Cross Blue Shields, gives a patient so much money every, I think, quarterly. Mm-hmm. Say, for example, let's say they give them $65. They can use that money to buy things that they would purchase over the counter. I think we talked about, Markley, like aspirin.
Scales.
Blood
pressure cough.
Yeah, things like that, that the patient can use, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. even if it's one or two, or depends. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had several patients use that for depends and vitamins mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That is something every patient needs to talk to their insurance and say, hey, guys, do I have over-the-counter benefits?
Yeah.
That's great. That's fantastic. You know what? That is fantastic news. That is good. See, you learn something new every day.
And the thing is that if I don't use all my benefits this quarter, they roll over to next quarter.
Oh, yeah.
So say I have an item I have to purchase, and it's a bigger item that I really want. And you can get these through Walgreens. You can get these through CVS. Or they have a catalog. The insurance has a catalog.
Rita, great point of view that you open up a topic, and this will be, Thursday.
Yeah.
I know. Rollover benefits.
I'm making note of it right now.
Okay. But Barclay and I were talking about that, and I said, well, we better tell our patients out there, our audience out there, over-the-counter benefits, folks, and it's for our seniors, so 65 and older, or our patients that are on disability.
But still, for seniors, please do read your Medicare plans, your Medicare Advantage plans, because that can sometimes be a hoodwink.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's not everybody, but go ahead and ask. Like you guys are saying, advocate for yourself. If that benefit is there for you, utilize it, please. If not, it goes to waste. You know what we always say? They don't care. It's about money.
So we're going to give our final thoughts now. Rita, since you're talking, go ahead and let me have it.
Okay. So the best investment you'll ever make is your own health. So people, make good choices about your insurance, especially as older folks. I can't get the cheap insurance.
Okay, so
Norma, at the end of the day, you end up paying more.
Yeah. All right, Norma, so what do you have to say?
I would like to say know your patient rights. Mm-hmm. On the internet, there is a section out there, and it's all about knowing your patient rights, what you can and cannot do. As a patient, we all have rights. So know them and be aware of what you can and cannot do.
Maria?
In addition to knowing your rights, you need to know what your plan is. On a nursing standpoint, patients ask me all the time about insurance. I say, get to know your finance person for your the company that's providing you the service. Get to know your social worker and get to know your insurance company.
Okay, Stephanie.
Absolutely. Knowledge is definitely power, and we're here to assist you in any way possible that we can. By any reasons you happen to have any denials, do not get discouraged or stressed. You know, we will help you get these. Go ahead and get them overturned.
All right. BJ?
Okay, well, now is the time to check deadlines for insurance enrollment.
Yeah, now is the time.
The insurance plan that I have, they used to give us a month to review. Now it's 2 weeks. So find out when your deadline is, put it on the calendar, get your policy out and read it, fine print. Also, one last thing is, again, I want to remind our audience to show us your support by clicking the like button and becoming a subscriber. One of the things is we are going to be away for a while. We have one of our panelists that's getting married.
Yes. Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
So we're going to be away for a while. And while we are away.
What's a while, BJ? What's a while? How long are we going to be? How long are we going to be? 2 weeks. Okay.
But during that time, we're not going to be just, you know, ground zero. We're going to be reviewing the feedback from our listeners. So, and then we're going to also select topics based on those comments. So make a comment in the comment box. Make your voice heard. Let us know what you think. And visit us on our website, KICKIN, remember no G, kickingitwithkidneys.com, and let us know.
All right, guys. Well, knowledge is power. And this program is all about empowering you. We thank you for listening to our show this week, and we look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks on Kicking It with Kidneys.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you for listening to Kicking It with Kidneys with your host, Cindy Barclay. See you next week. The views expressed on this podcast are educational and opinion-based. These are not medical doctors.
Be sure to catch us on social media on our website, kickingitwithkidneys.com, also on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.